a liberal dose of conservative talk. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
20 minutes after 7 o'clock in the morning, John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. In a minute, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to identify the nation's gayest city, according to The Advocate, one of the more established and older gay publications in the United States. The gayest city in America is in Washington State. Guess what? It's not Seattle.
And what, not San Francisco
it's
either?
It's not Seattle, and it's not San Francisco. I'll tell you what it is and why. And it's, again, it's in Washington State. But before we get there, Phil wanted to talk about this. Now, this is really something. All of us like to indulge, you know, a certain affectation, a certain taste every once in a while and spend more than we should. You know, maybe it's, you know, you're into shoes or like some Seahawk fans. They will put like, you know, $800 worth of Seahawks, you know, leather jacket, official jersey,
official uni,
you know, the whole bit.
Jersey.
But how much would you pay for a bottle of scotch? A man in Salem, Oregon, just shelled out more for a bottle of scotch than most people pay for an automobile.
This is it. This is the peak.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To a round of applause, retired Salem businessman Lyle Schellenberg handed over a $27,000 cashier's check for this 50-year-old bottle of Glenfiddich Scotch whiskey.
$27,000 on scotch?
That's got to be a good bottle of scotch.
$27,000?
Lyle's love of scotch began decades ago.
My grandfather, who was originally from Scotland, he was a scotch drinker, and his favorite was Glenfiddich.
He toured the distillery with his grandfather 40 years ago and has been a loyal customer ever since.
I could have bought, spent money on a sports car or something else. I just happened to choose.
I'll take the sports car.
I liked Glenfiddich scotch, and this was interesting to me. It was different. It's not something that somebody down the street or someone else in Oregon has.
Well, no, I guess you can say, I've got a bottle of Glenfiddich, do you?
And
no, I don't.
You spend that much, you have to drink it at some point, right?
And here's the other thing. You know, you can put...
You want to know.
You can put a Corvette in your driveway. You can't put a bottle of scotch in your driveway and have, you know, the same impact if you wanted to impress the neighbors.
Because I know just a little bit about wine collecting and that idea that you can buy and you can hold on to it and it might go up in value and it's... Its taste might develop even more, but...
Well, I've heard...
Does that happen with scotch? I don't know.
Well,
if you hold on to it for 70 years, is it better than when it was at 50?
I'm told that Brittany's going to put it on her bridal registry.
Yeah?
Done. Already done.
You're going to add that to the list?
You have an option.
Yes.
Here's a little bit more about this bottle of scotch and why it's so rare.
Lyle is actually one of only six people in the entire country to purchase one of the 50 bottles released worldwide each year.
Originally, he didn't think I could even get a bottle, and then he notified me that he thought he could get me a bottle if I wanted one, and I said, yeah.
When you look at stocks of single malt scotch whiskey around the world, only around about 1% make it to 21 years plus. So if you think about that in terms of how rare a 50-year-old scotch whiskey is, it makes it exceptionally rare and exceptionally valuable.
So what did 27 grand buy him? In a locked leather case rests the handcrafted bottle.
As a knot that is tied, and it's tied by a world champion fly fisherman. And his job is to actually tie knots. And he does this for us by hand with each bottle.
And in that bottle, a batch of scotch that spent a half a century aging to perfection.
On the nose, first off, I get tropical fruits, incredibly. It's kind of mango, pineapple that comes through, which is quite incredible. And then on the palate, I would say this is velvety smooth. It's just absolutely incredible.
Lyle plans to drink it, likely in the next year, as a special event sometime with his family.
For a while, we'll look at it and admire it, and good for show and tell, but then there comes a time when, you know, it seal's going to have to be broken. It's It's going to have to be open because I just have to know what it tastes like.
And if his grandfather was here,
he would certainly be asking for a wee dram.
Julie Grauert, the 10 o'clock news.
Okay. So yeah, I can imagine, you know, just staring at the bottle and saying, you know, if I hang on to this for a while, I could maybe resell it.
I love how he talked about it. It's nice for show and tell for a little while, too.
But yeah, after a while, you know, I guess I can get into this guy's head and realize that after he's looked at it for long enough and he showed it to his friends and it's become a conversation piece that he's going to have to crack it.
Now, is Schramm a Scotch guy? We've had some conversations
about Schramm is a Scotch guy. He's a vodka guy. He's a vermouth guy. He's a whiskey guy.
Yeah,
he's a
bourbon
guy. he's a Ripple guy. He's a Annie Greensprings fruit wine guy.
Strawberry Hill.
Beer wine guy. pretty much, Mike's Hard Lemonade guy.
I love Scotch.
That's right. Ron Burgundy. Okay.
I love the packaging on it too. Like I wouldn't want to touch it. I mean, it looks like it belongs in a bank vault or something, you know. It just looks, it's so protected in this,
like,
you know, silver.
What was the
case.
Scene in Ocean's 11, the remake with Clooney and the older guy, and I'm going to space out on his name, but he's a very funny writer.
Alan Arkin?
No. I want to say Silverman, but I don't think that's right. But the older guy that comes in on their con, and he walks into the hotel. Rob Reiner, there we go. He comes in holding the case with whatever his valuables are so they can kind of get a look at
Rob
the vault.
Reiner or Carl Reiner?
Or Carl Reiner, there we go. Carl Reiner, yeah. Rob Reiner's the son, there we go. But yeah, and it's a case exactly like that. The case is immaculate, just like the bottle.
I love Scotch. Scotch is Scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
However, I got to tell you, you know, as crazy as it sounds to spend $27,000 on a bottle of Scotch, my oldest son Matthew said, "Hey, Dad, did you hear that there's going to be a sale for this baseball card? And it's going to get over $100,000."
Which card?
Well, there's an 1868 baseball card has been found, purchased at a garage sale.
No kidding.
By the way, and it's, I guess, one of the oldest baseball cards ever. And, you know,
one of the kind that came off
it's
the
odd.
Back of
I didn't
chewing
say,
tobacco bag back in the day or something like that,
yeah,
or a box of chewing tobacco.
I'm not sure, but, you know, I saw the story and it didn't occur to me how ridiculous to pay that kind of money, because I'm thinking, wow, it's a relic. It's one of a kind. And I guess this Glenfiddich is pretty much one of a kind.
This is velvety smooth.
And I guess, you know, that's the kicker for
shelling
out $27,000. Yeah. I guess you at least get to consume something that nobody else is going to get to consume and taste that. And with the card, the baseball card or any other memorabilia, you hold on to it, you look at it, you can
claim
ownership.
Well, it's an investment.
But,
it's an investment.
I guess there's that too. I guess
it's just
that.
Like some people invest in art. Yeah. Other people call them lowbrow if you must, but I won't. I think they just have, you know, a romantic attachment to the national pastime. Invest in baseball cards.
Yeah, there's an experience, though, that goes along with the guy shelling out $27,000 for the 50-year-old bottle of Scotch.
Yeah. No, that's one of a kind. Well, it's one of 60 of a kind, anyway. That's all the bottles they made and one of the few bottles that you still get. I, by the way, cannot walk into one of those baseball card stores or go to any of those baseball card shows because I used to collect baseball cards.
Yeah, I used to have a fair amount, too.
And I'm talking from the 50s, because an older kid, just got bored and was moving on to other things, and he gave me all of his baseball cards. We're talking Mickey Mantle, 1962. I mean, all these great
Willie
cards.
Hank Aaron.
And I blended them with my collection of baseball cards from the 70s. You know, Carl Yastrzemski, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, etc. And I had like 3,000 of these cards.
Yeah, you had.
And went to back to D.C. after college, and my mom's cleaning out the garage, and oh, John's old baseball cards. Well, he doesn't need these anymore.
That story.
Yes. I still have my mom in the will, and I still greet her warmly. However, it took me a while to get past that.